Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter number 6. New Testament preacher. It's 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, then if it, in New Testament. That's why I'm his friend. Amen. I help him. Amen. If you would like to stand with us, we invite you to do so. Galatians chapter 6, have you found your place there?
Amen.
All right, that's good. Put your bookmark there. Put your pen there. Put your wife's hand there, finger there or something, and turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. Don't you just love it when the preacher does stuff like that? Jeremiah chapter 9, we're going to come back to Galatians in just a moment, okay? So I just wanted to give you a head start on it. Jeremiah chapter 9, this morning the Lord led us to preach in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And what the scripture and the Bible teaches us that is in the name of Jesus and how powerful that name is. Boy, I appreciate those songs, appreciate the choir and all the sacrifice that you make and the time you spend here. And I remind you what the scripture says again, that God is not unrighteous to forget our labor of love that we show for his name's sake.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that keeps a record. Amen.
Amen.
And he's got a record. And I believe with no doubt God will bless you for your time and your sacrifice. And man, the songs and the talent that you have here, you're truly, truly blessed. But when we talked about in Jesus' name and we come to realize and come to understand, and in Psalms 9:10, the psalmist says, for those that understand the name of the Lord, they trust in the name of the Lord. And I believe you do. I hope that you do tonight, that you're trusting in the name of the Lord and that you understand the significance, the importance of Jesus and him being a person and his purpose and, of course, his power that we preached on. But tonight I want us all to be just reminded of something that I think is very critical in the life of every Christian. And I want you to notice what's going on with Judah here in Jeremiah chapter 9, and he is warning the people of God about pride, about self-glorification, about self-praise and self-achievements. And this is what he says in verse 23. Jeremiah 9, verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory, and that word also means to boast or be boastful, in his wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this. That he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. May God bless the reading, preaching, and teaching of his word tonight. Thank you. You may be seated. Again, that word glory or glorieth means to bring an adoration to, or a veneration to make a show of, or to boast about. And we would kind of say it like maybe to brag or to gloat upon, or I kind of put it in my words here, to talk with excessive pride or pridefulness. Now, we know that the children of Israel, of Judah, had gotten to the place and to the state to where they were boasting, they were bragging, they were glorying in the things that they were claiming to have accomplished within themselves. And that's exactly what Jeremiah, the man of God, the preacher of God, was bringing to the attention of Judah here in this particular text, if you would. They were kind of caught up in their own wisdom. They were caught up in their own might and in their own riches or wealth. Sounds very familiar to the world today.
Amen.
I'm telling you, think about some of the universities And where we're at in today's world that we live in, there was a time when many of these universities and colleges had a very biblical sound foundation, very fundamental, and they realized that there was no wisdom greater than God's wisdom, and if man had any wisdom, that it came from God. But many of them, I hope maybe that some of that's going to change, Lord willing, but we know where we've been at here in the past several years. But many of them had turned from God. Many of the doctrines and the teachings and many of the professors and the instructors would stand in the classrooms and actually instruct and teach that there is no God and that wisdom came from man and man alone. But we know our Bible teaches us differently. Amen. But that's where a lot of the world is today. A lot of the world today, many people today, thinks because of all of our accomplishments and all the things that we have done and all the cities that has been built and all the infrastructure. And listen, I'm not here to belittle anything that people has given and has sacrificed and has done in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
A matter of fact, if you go back to the disaster that just happened in western North Carolina and eastern Tennessee, and I know it affected other states, but we are more familiar with this particular area and seen the devastation. I mean, we have literally seen homes swept off of their foundations. We have seen rivers change course of their flow. They were at one time flowing here, now they're flowing over there. Where there used to be homes, where there used to be communities and cities and towns, it is now wiped away. And now there's nothing but a riverbed flowing through there. And now all of a sudden, you have this huge response, and some of it's been good, very good, of where people has come in with heavy equipment and they have labored and they have toiled and they have shifted some of the river's flow back to the other side. They have rebuilt roads and they've done all these great things. And if you're not careful, they'll stand in front of the TV cameras and the news media and they'll stand out in front of the people and they'll say, look at us. Look at what we have done. Look at what we have accomplished. It is the depravity of man's heart. And even those of us that are saved, those of us that do understand and claiming and walking in the name of Christ, if you're not careful, my friend, that same pridefulness will slip in on you and on me as well. And we'll find ourselves becoming boastful and glorying in ourselves. I want to preach just a simple message for just a few moments tonight that we have something to boast about. And it's not self. It's not self. It's not government. Listen, it's not our wisdom. It's not our might. It's not our riches and our wealth. But it's Christ Jesus, the Lord. So now if you'll take your Bibles and go back to Galatians chapter 6, that's exactly what Paul, I believe, is trying to get us to have an understanding on. Because the Bible's very clear when you think about boasting and you find yourself in a position to where you are self-praising yourself or you are idolizing people of the world, or you are allowing the things that you have been successful in to become your God, and it is compromising your relationship with God. Boy, you better be careful about that. Amen. I mean, we better be careful. Paul said in Ephesians 2:8-9, lest any man should boast in relation to salvation, that it's not within us. The Bible speaks in James 4:16 that it is evil. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 and 2 that one of the last day rebellions that we would see is boasters, proud, people that are proud. Amen. Within themselves. Reminds me of a story I heard about little Johnny, 12 years old. His parents had a big problem with little Johnny. He was so caught up in himself. I mean, he was not humbled about anything. He was arrogant. He was haughty and high-minded. So his parents says, hey, I've got this idea. Let's take little Johnny to the Grand Canyon. If he sees the Grand Canyon, he'll see the vastness of it. 270-some miles long, I think. Is it like 18 miles wide, 17, 18 miles wide? And it's a mile deep. So they took little Johnny to the Grand Canyon, and he walked up right up to the edge there, and he looked over the railing, and he seen the vastness of the Grand Canyon, and he just stood there for a little while, and his parents were saying, this is going to humble little Johnny. I mean, something like this here, this is going to humble little Johnny. And he just stood there for a little while. And he leaned over the railing, and he spit. He stood back up, turned, got in the car, didn't say anything. They took him back home. Well, little Johnny, he always journaled. So he got home that afternoon, and he began to journal in his little book, and he went to bed. And his parents got curious about that. They said, well, I wonder if this helped little Johnny at all. And they got so curious that they said, let's just go see what he wrote in his journal. So they went to his bedroom there real quietly, and they got his journal, and they opened it up, and they read, and little Johnny said this, today I spit a mile. Now, that's just a little bit of humor, but I use it as an illustration, not to entertain you or anything. I realize this is a sacred place, but is that not how we see things sometimes as well? We miss the greatness and the vastness, the majesty and the majestic of God sometimes in his creation, what he has done in our lives and in our families. Sometimes in our churches, we miss what God is doing sometimes because we just want to see what self has done or what self has accomplished. And Paul says this, and I'll be done. And just, I just want to give you three quick things real quick in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Three things that we have to boast about, church. And God help us never, ever to either take this for granted or to neglect this or allow the business things of the world in our lives to hinder us to the point to where we find ourselves with somewhat of a haughty spirit or high-minded, or what I'm trying to say is don't ever lose your humility.
Amen.
About what Jesus Christ has done.
Amen.
We talked about the power. We talked about the person, the purpose, and the power in the name of Jesus Christ. May that humble us each and every day of our lives. The first thing Paul mentions is the cross. The cross. Listen, if it was not for Calvary, if it was not for the cross, you and I would be lost and headed for hell tonight. Amen. But thank God for Calvary. Thank God for the one that hung there. They stripped him naked. And there on Calvary, he surrendered himself. He gave himself. He shed his precious blood for your sins and for my sins. Listen, without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sins. Listen, we'll take a cross. We'll put it around our neck. We'll put it on our vehicles. We'll see it on the side of the road. We'll see it in the cemeteries. We'll tattoo it on our bodies. We'll see it on the front of our Bibles. But God help us to realize that it is the cross of Calvary. If there's any glorying, if there's any boasting, if there's any bragging, if there's any shouting, if there's any serving, singing, any praying, may it be in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because I couldn't have done it. You couldn't have done it.
Right.
But he did.
Amen.
And the thing about it, he didn't even have to.
Come on.
He didn't have to. But he did.
Yeah.
God help us tonight to realize the cross to the world. The preaching of the cross is just foolishness.
Right.
It's just foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. Amen. May that cross humble us every time we look upon it. Amen. I understand we shout about it. I understand we weep about it. Sometimes we clap our hands and wave the hanky and stomp our feet, but yet at the same time, when we see the cross, may it humble us. Amen. Because it had not been for the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. Oh, God, help me tonight. And the burden of my heart rolled away. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Listen, if it had not been for the cross, and that's what Paul was saying, that it's the cross, it's the crucifixion, it's the suffering, it was the pain, it was the death. God, help us not to minimize that.
Amen.
If there's something that we ought to be boasting about, if there's something tonight that ought to excite us, at the same time it's humbling us, it ought to be the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, it should never get old to us.
That's right.
It should never get old to us. Sometimes I realize that the preaching of the cross to those that are foolish and unlearned and lost, it is foolishness. But unto us that are saved, I pray that we would see it as a position of Jesus Christ demonstrating his love for you and for me.
Amen.
It's a demonstration. It's a demonstration that invites. If you ever thought about his position there on the cross as he hung there with his arms wide open, that's an invitation. That was an invitation, huh? Boy, that's something to be excited about. That's something to celebrate. His love, his compassion, also his submission. His submission to the Father's will.
Amen.
Yielding himself. Surrendering himself. Oh, the forgiveness that we find at the cross.
Amen.
Notice verse 15 where Paul said in Galatians, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Something else we have the glory over tonight, and I pray that you would understand how this ties in with this morning's message, is we see the cross, but then we see because of the cross, because of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we put our faith in what Jesus did on that cross and we trust in the sacrifice that he made.
Amen.
And the blood that he shed, we then find ourselves converted. It is the conversion. It is the change. It is the difference that Jesus brings into the life of a man, woman, boy, or girl.
Amen.
See, I'm afraid there's too many churches. There's too many religions. There's too many sermons messages sometimes going on in the world that's not being preached about the power of God bringing change and conversion to a man, woman, boy, or girl.
Amen.
See, that's something that I cannot do with my own power. The only part that we have is the free will and decision and choice that we would receive what Jesus did.
Amen.
What Jesus did for us. And the moment we receive that, it is the power of God that brings that change unto us. So what I'm simply trying to say is when you look at this from a biblical perspective, there's no way that we can put ourselves anywhere in any part of us receiving any glory or having any bragging rights or any boastfulness as to what God has done in the conversion of our lives and the change that he has brought into us.
Amen.
I love John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, but as many as received him,
Amen.
To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. I'm telling you, it's all God tonight. It is all God tonight. It is all about what Jesus Christ has done. It is all about what is in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't ever think, well, I played a part in it. You had no part in it. I had no part in it. Amen. other than the free will to exercise, to acknowledge, believe, and confess, repenting of our sins and receiving the gift. It's a gift. You can't buy it. You can't bargain for it, barter for it. You can't beg for it. I'm telling you, it is a gift.
Amen.
It's the gift of salvation.
Praise the Lord.
If you're not careful, people will tend to want to have a part of trying to get some glory and credit out of the conversion of people. Preacher, we have to be careful sometimes when we get up and preach the gospel. You've experienced it, and I've experienced it, of where people would surrender to the call of God on their life, and they would get gloriously born again, and we'll walk out of church with our heads up, you know, and our shoulders laid back and say, boy, well, I preached that message, and he got saved, she got saved. Oh, God, help us.
Amen.
Amen. We were just a vessel, a tool that God used to bring the message, but the power is in the Word. The power is in the Spirit of God. If there's any glorying, if there's any boasting, if there's any bragging, if there's any shouting, may God get all the glory. Amen. I believe oftentimes that sometimes you ever find yourself when you're trying to do something for the Lord, maybe there's times if it's teaching a Sunday school class, if it's singing in the choir, if it's preaching the Word, sometimes I find myself, I just get, you know, kind of like caught up in struggling. Man, I feel like I'm on a pair of snow skis in the Sahara Desert, you know, and you just can't go nowhere. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Or you get all tangled up with your words or your thoughts, or you can't find your place in the Scriptures. You know what? Thank God for that tonight. Because you know what? When I stop and think about that, it's just God's way of schooling us sometimes to say, hey, you can't do it without me. Hey, it's not about you. It's not about your name. It's not about people bragging on you and talking about you. It is all about him. That may be hard for some people to look at it that way. You say, preacher, why would you say that? Because sometimes I struggle with it that way. But then I have to stop and think. We ought to thank him. Give thanks in all things. Is that not what the Bible teaches us?
Amen.
Even in the times that we struggle, in the times we feel like we just made a mess out of the sermon, it feels like we just got everybody confused. I mean, they're just looking off out yonder somewhere, you know, and some of them sleep, and some of them getting up and walking out, and some of them's doing this and doing that. You give an altar call, nobody moves, and you're like, man, you know, what did I do? Where did I mess up? What did I say? And sometimes that's the greatest times that God will use us, but then sometimes it's just God's way of saying, see there? You old high and mighty and Holy Spirit of yours. I'll remind you who's in control. I'll remind you who's doing this and who's doing that. I'll remind you that without me, there is no liberty. Without me, you can do nothing. That's just how good God is. That's how good he is. And lastly, think about this. Look, it's the cross straight from the text. Verse 14 of Galatians chapter 6. Paul said, saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, straight from the text. And then there in 15, he says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. We know that in our conversion, it's his doing. And then I want you to think about this. We ought to glory in his coming. What do you see that at, preacher? Notice what he said in verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, don't miss this, the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You know something that we ought to be glorying and boasting and bragging and shouting about tonight is his coming.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm not, we may be in the world, but we're not of the world.
Amen.
I'm glad tonight that this world is not my home. I'm just a stranger and a pilgrim, amen. I'm glad to see the results of the election, but listen, I'm still looking for King Jesus, amen, because he is the Prince of Peace. And without him, there will never be peace in this world. But listen, when he comes, listen, we're checking out of here, and we're checking in up there, amen. I'm telling you, when Gabriel toots, we got a scoot. We getting out of this world, and we are going home.
Amen.
That ought to be something we ought to be boastful and bragging about. That ought to be something that we ought to be sharing in this dark, sin-saturated world that we live in, the fact that this is not home. It's just a temporary dwelling place because we're going home to be with Jesus one day. And it's all because of what he's going to do.
That's right.
Amen. I could call some names here of some very wealthy people. And by the world's measurement, and again, I'm not trying to belittle anybody, so don't understand me. Because some of these people have been a tremendous help to some of the people up in the hills here just recently with technology. But let me tell you something, it's not going to be no rocket that takes me to heaven. Amen. Y'all know where I'm going, right? It's not going to be about by man's wisdom or man's might or man's riches. No, it's going to be that trumpet when it sounds. Amen. It's going to be the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ when he steps out on the cloud and says, come up hither. Amen.
Amen.
That's where the change is going to take place. That's where we're going to transition from this world to the new world.
Amen.
And receive the perfection of our bodies. And we're going to a place where there is no sorrow, no sin, no sickness, amen, no medication, no funeral homes, no problems, no troubles, no trials, no battles, no burdens. Hey, that's something to be excited about right there. And Jesus is going to do it all. He's going to be the one. As soon as the Father looks and says, son, go get your children. Oh, boy, I believe he's just so eager and ready and waiting, don't you? I can remember 35 years ago. As I was standing there at the altar, when my daddy just come home to be with glory, I was just waiting for that bride to come down that aisle, amen. And I was a-looking, and I was anxious, and I was excited, and boy, I was waiting on that clock, amen. And boy, when those doors swung open, and she stepped out in that white bridal gown, and oh my, yes, let me get back to the message, amen. But it's an illustration of Christ Jesus and the church,
amen,
which is the bride. I believe he's just as eager. I'll try not to meddle, preacher. I know we preach the word, but I believe he's as eager to see us and be with us as we are to see him.
Amen.
But you know, God is long-suffering and kind, and could just be one more soul somewhere. It could be the one in here tonight that the Father's waiting on before he turns and tells the Son it's time.
Amen.
Could be one in here tonight. You've heard what is in the name of Jesus this morning. You've heard tonight that it's not by wisdom of man. It's not by your might and your good works or how much money you put into offering plate or what kind of Sunday garden meeting clothes you can dress up in. And you've heard tonight, it's not about the riches and the wealth and the health, but it's about what Jesus did,
amen,
on the cross for,
amen,
you. It's about the sacrifice that he made. If you could just for a brief moment just shut everything else out in the world and let the Holy Spirit of God take you to Calvary. You see our blessed Savior after he had been beaten and battered, scoffed and mocked, rejected, spit on, and the blood dripping from his life, and him hanging there, looking ahead in time, he saw you, he saw me, and he says, for you, and there on the cross, he died, and he paid your sin debt. That you could be here tonight, and that you could be under the power of the convicting Spirit of Almighty God, which is divine. It is divine. And tonight, the Holy Spirit of God will say, won't you boast in this cross? In other words, won't you receive the cross, see the cross, and glory in the cross by humbling and submitting yourself to the cross of Christ? Won't you be boastful tonight? Won't you receive and walk out of these doors saying that God changed me?
Amen.
Tonight, on this Sunday night, November the 17th, 2024, God changed me. God did it. I was gloriously born again.
Amen.
And then you could look and anticipate in glory in the rapture of the church and the homegoing of God's people. You can be excited. You can anticipate that, not be afraid of that happening, but you would be living in expectation of the church going home.
Amen.
Don't be like Judah. Don't be caught up in your pride tonight. For like I said this morning, Paul said in Philippians, every knee should bow. But if you choose not to, one day you will. But God in his mercy, I pray that you would not be found in that number. As the musicians come tonight,